Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York, and I am joined by Mark. Mark, you out there? Mark? Mark? You there? Oh. Okay. I don't know.
Hi, this is Heather calling in from Minnesota. How are you doing tonight, Ann?
I'm good, Heather. How are you? I think thought we had Mark on, but maybe I was wrong on
hello,
that.
Hello,
okay.
Hello. Hi,
oh, there
he
you
is.
Are. Okay, cool. Yeah, Mercury retrograde. We love this Mercury
okay.
retrograde. Okay, cool.
Good. We're all here.
Yes.
Some good Mercury retrograde stories buzzing around. I saw that, several airline were hit with bomb scares a couple of days ago. I know that Texas has been having some really difficult transportation problems as Mercury is not only retrograde, it's square Neptune.
Right.
And I've had some very funny ones with my editors. How about you two? Have you had any really good Mercury retrograde stories?
Yeah, we had, I tried to load the episode last week and it wouldn't, and then when I went to do it today, I'm like, ooh, there's no episode there. It's very Mercury retrograde. And you just loaded one that I said ignore, because they said you're late
yeah,
for your show, and
too.
I'm like, wait, I just loaded one. So we're on this one, not on that one.
Because we were loading them at the same time. I realized that.
At the
that,
same
and
time,
came on,
Mercury
like, oh,
retrograde.
There
but
you
yeah,
are.
It's definitely, yeah, Mercury retrograde is a biggie. And also, you know, it's just kind of, all the Gemini, man, it's just been a little crazy. The nice part about it is there's millions and millions of Republican candidates running for president.
That announced
that's
this
what
week,
I've noticed.
I know.
Yeah, and they all keep announcing on void moons, which I love.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Good news.
Yeah. I know. So it's good. And I think Mercury retrograde is, you know, you just keep finding stuff or you find something and then it leaves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I thought I found somebody to do something the other day and then they came and they said, oh, I can't do that. And I'm like, okay, bye. Okay, I thought I was doing that. Oh, no, I'm not doing that. Bye. It's like, all right, what do we do next? So,
right.
Yeah.
Last week, my weekly article that I get into the newspaper in New Mexico, I put sent star codes in very last minute, but I sent it in. Then I get emails saying, well, hey, where is it? I didn't get it. And I thought, well, they just haven't, it's kind of clicking through. And then I got another email with the same question, where is it, at the top, with thank you in the letter. So I think, oh, they got it. No, they were still saying, where is it, thank you. They still hadn't got it, but I thought they had. And so we went around a few more rounds on that. And it is important to always be explicit. Do not think they got the bulk of the email. Don't think they understood, heard the first half of the joke. With Mercury retrograde, if people's reactions aren't what you expect, follow through and ask where they are, what they heard.
Right. Totally. And they probably didn't hear it right.
CNN sent out a list
that's
of bloopers that was
does.
Hysterical, and I think is the best of Mercury retrograde humor.
What was that?
Which one?
I said CNN sent out, published a list of their bloopers from their. They opened up their archives and put together a bloopers reel from CNN, and that
that's
is
cool.
Just hysterical. And yeah, I think it's good Mercury retrograde humor. If we can laugh about the bloopers and mistakes that we all walk through.
Yeah, that's what it's for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Ultimately, you know, in all these energies that we see, there's nothing malevolent in it.
Right.
You know,
right.
There's no bad intention. It's just, you know, if we take it that way, then, then there's, you know, but that's our expectation. So.
Right. Right. Yeah, and I think when we understand the retrograde is really all about us pausing and going, okay, let me look at that again. What do I really need to do?
Mm-hmm.
And why? It kind of helps us figure out things a little bit better. Yeah. So, and I think it's good, you know. I think it helps us redo and revisit and rethink about. I know in my case here, we've been working on cleaning up the emails and getting them a little more organized because, you know, you have Facebook and you have Yahoo and you have Twitter, and, you know, the people can contact you for Yelp. I mean, somebody set up a Yelp account. I'm like, all these people email, and I just can't keep track of it, and it's not all coming in one stream.
No, that's a difficulty. That's very Mercury retrograde in Gemini, that the feeling too spread out, too thin, too diffused, and not focused
too
enough.
Much stuff. Everything all over the place, right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Totally, yeah. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely that kind of week. And we also have a big finger of God this week with Mars now moving into where Mercury was last week. And then the Sun comes in at the end of the week and forms a finger of God with Pluto and Jupiter, asking us to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
Time to evolve and change. And also Pluto, of course, is power grabs. So watch for the power grab in your world and say, back off, no power grabs, you know. Drawing a line in the sand here, drawing a line in the sand.
See, what that happens politically with that one.
I know, it should be really interesting. Well, I thought it was interesting. Biden's son died and Kerry's leg broke or ankle broke. Mm-hmm. He broke something. So
he
we've had a couple of breaks. We had two of our leading butcher-hoosie guys, leading people in the world. I don't know what, drawing a blank on what their names are. You know, we had the State Department of State and the Vice President both out. You know, boom, boom. You know, power. You know, it's just, okay, got to go. We have to go take care of ourselves now. And I don't know. It's just really an interesting time.
It is.
And doubles.
The moon has been absolutely beautiful out there. And if you can get out, you can really see the arc of the solar system at the moment. Right after sunset, you can see Venus really glowing. And it's heading slowly towards a conjunction with Jupiter over the next month. But so Venus is at 28 Cancer, Jupiter at 17 Leo. Then across the sky, you can see Saturn at the last degree of first degree of Sagittarius, retrograding back into Scorpio. And in a few minutes, you'll be able to see the moon, which is past full now in Capricorn, just went into Capricorn a few minutes ago. And when you see that, you can really see them in an arc, and you can see the tilt of the Earth and how that arc runs at an angle from us. You can just sort of imagine the whole plane of the solar system when you see them like that. So it's well worth getting out there if you're not downtown New York and you get a chance to see an arc of sky, not just a section of it.
Right.
And that moon's going to be conjuncting Pluto by Saturday morning. And it, you know, kind of makes for, by Friday, it makes for a kind of morose and thoughtful time. But Venus heads into Leo on Friday, and I think we're going to see, you know, for Gemini season, with Mercury retrograde and Venus in Cancer, people have been really turned inwards. They have not been as sociable as they might be, normally be in graduation season.
Right.
But I think that with Venus heading into Leo, you're going to see a real increase in sociability, connection, running into old friends, wanting to reach out in a way that we really haven't for a while.
Yeah. And also Venus is out of bounds.
Talk about what that means to the audience.
And not Venus is out of bounds. Venus is in Leo till October because of the whatchahoosie thing.
Retrograde.
Because of the retrograde. Thank you. I'm having this really blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, you're doing it right.
That's what I know.
I'm having a bad day.
If I can't talk, I go like, what's a whoosie and the who's a
what's a whoosie,
and
what's about the dip, the dip. Yeah, it was good.
It is. That's funny. Mm. And Mark, have you had any real experiences with it?
No, not so much on this one. I think the being in Gemini, I feel like everything's actually working.
Excellent. I can talk more. I mean, I still may lose my words, but I can talk more than I can, mostly with Mercury retrograde.
Right. You can
talk.
It's
often really difficult for me to talk.
Right.
Yeah. When in doubt, just keep talking right now. And eventually you'll say something that makes sense.
Yes, that's a good way of saying it. So there's a lot of time that we just need to process and don't worry about where we're getting to the end of it, but just continuing to communicate.
Yeah.
You know, and that the process itself, the information will get across and we'll come to understanding, but it won't be that we'll come to a clear conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Totally. And once we're at that clear confusion, we're like, oh, okay, I actually know what I want to do. Yeah, that's good.
And so what else do we have coming up this week for people? How do we, Mercury retrograde, the later into the retrograde, it turns direct on the 11th. So we're in this last week of it.
Last little bit of it, yeah.
And if we can, people start getting a little threadbare. The orders have gone wrong. Their mind has been blank for too long. You know, everything's a little
done.
Fuzzy.
It's like, oy, you leave me alone.
Yeah. Hold still if you can this week. Take some time off. Do some introspection. But don't push yourself forward unless you absolutely have to. See if you can make the decisions for this week. And then see if they unfold.
Right. Yeah. And understand that that's part of the way it works is you make the decisions and then you kind of go, all right, that's going to change. And then it changes and that's okay. That's what it's supposed to do. Change a few times, back and forth, back and forth. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, over the weekend, I noticed that on Friday, Mars sextiles Jupiter. Then the moon enters Aquarius, so it'll be a much more sociable weekend. And Venus trines Saturn on Saturday, so we may get more work done than we have been. But I see that Mars sextiles Uranus on the 9th, and I just want to be careful that when Mars sextiles Uranus and on the 10th, the moon heads into Aries, but Mercury is absolutely stationary. So it's going to be this very strong urge to hurry up and jump to conclusions and make decisions and get on with things. But we'll probably have to redo them. It's a kind of time when you could rev the car and rev it right into the wall. So slow it down with that gas and the brakes and get great ideas, but still use that energy to finish up your projects, finish up what you can, and be ready to begin to build momentum. Mercury's got one more square to Neptune before it gets out of its shadow. And so the real clarity about where we're going and why and when doesn't really kick in until after the summer solstice.
Right. And then we enter, we're in Venus's shadow at that point because she enters her shadow on the 15th of, or the 20th, I think, of June, and then she's going to be in Leo retrograde through beginning of September, clears her shadow, and leaves Leo in October 8th. Long time with Venus in Leo, asking us what we love, what we want to be creative about. So Mercury's looking for clarification of it and asking us, well, what actually is it? What are you trying to do again? Mercury square Neptune. What are you trying to do again? And Venus is going to go, I'm trying to go for love. I want to go for love. Love looks like this to me. This is what I love. This is what I desire. This is my passion. So we have to honor that the Leo piece is very very strong, very creative, and very powerful. You know, and the two of them together, of course, Mars goes out of bounds, too. It's a big, it's just, the other thing I've been noticing, and I'm not 100% sure how I'm going to phrase this, but I feel like May and June with all these planets in Gemini is the setup for the upcoming T-square that's all next year, all fall and all spring, because the Gemini houses are activating that energy, and it's kind of like, oh, that's what I'm going to be working on, because they're all talking to the Saturn and the Neptune and waking it up and going, okay, and the Saturn and Neptune are like, yeah, what are we doing? And then once Jupiter gets into it and we have that T-square next fall, it dumps all this energy into the Gemini house that says, okay, this is the plan. So I find that this, I'm just getting like, okay, this one's doing this, and people are kind of making plans for the fall that really they're talking about now, but that actually take place when we get to the fall. So I think it'll be pretty interesting in terms of how it all lays out. So you guys been seeing
that? Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. kind of a foretaste of it, you know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do we have any callers on the line tonight?
We have a couple, actually. Uh-huh. And they all have their hands up. Well, one has their hand up. If you want us to pick up your call, press 1, and we'll pick you up. Okay, so we have a 303-503. You're on the air. How can we help?
Hi there. Thank you so much. I'm so thrilled to be on the call with you all. So
welcome.
My birthday is, thank you, 9-23-68.
Mm-hmm.
Time of birth, 7:11 a.m., Summit, New Jersey.
Okay. And where in New Jersey? I'm sorry?
Summit.
Okay.
S-U-M-M-I-T.
The top of the hill.
Top of the hill, exactly. And I'm calling in the middle of a major, major transition.
No, no kidding. Sorry.
Having to do with following my dream, and I listened to your weekly weather report quite a lot, and so it's a lot about pursuing sort of a dream that I'm very convicted about. So my whole family will be moving, and I've been waiting on this job offer. That is a great job, big job, allows me to sort of step into a leadership role, exactly where I'm wanting to take my life, my career right now. It's kind of stalled. So there's that. And then I also kind of want your all's take on this move, this big transition is a bit of a leap of faith. So I wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
And when, and you're moving from where to where?
From Boulder, Colorado to somewhere in New Jersey.
You're moving back to New Jersey.
Yeah, and that's where I grew
up.
So it's kind of a return home, which it's a return home that has a pretty big meaning.
That's wonderful. I noticed that in Boulder, Colorado, you know, I know that part of the world, and it's lovely, and you have no major lines hitting anything on your astrocartography chart there. So it may never have quite taken off. A wonderful place to find yourself, but not a place where you could take off. And so did you find that, you know, it was lovely and it never quite lived up to the potential that you saw?
Absolutely. That's perfectly put. Yes.
And that is, you're moving back to where you have sun right near the ascendant, and to a place back on the East Coast. You've got a lot of leeway where there, but you're back on the East Coast. There's it's a real gift to you. It's, you know, people see you. You get, you're likely to be more visible. There's a lot more appreciation and success for you. You may not think much of them, but they love you. And and so it's what you want to make out of that. You're just coming out of some very tough aspects. And guys, does Pluto go back to 13 degrees? Or is it well past that? It goes
back
to 12.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
stations on
you're
12
not done
in the end of
this
September.
Upheaval. It's going to be a while before you feel settled in the new home. Wherever you are, while Pluto is squaring your moon, you feel homesick for a home you don't have and not, don't feel at home in the world. So it will take you a while, whichever way this goes. What do you see, Anne?
Well, I'm my eyes are drawn to, yes, moving home, Saturn hitting the fourth house cusp. We're back to fall
Pluto
of 85, spring
moon,
of 8. Squaring all this stuff. Squaring the ascendant. So it's very much about resetting your chart from the Boulder, from the Boulder's chart point of view. It's saying, okay, where am I going to build the foundation? When you come back east, you kind of, you know, one of the things that happens when we move west is that's why California does things before the rest of us, is because of the way the planets shift. So when you come back to the East Coast, you're back learning how to define what it is you're going to be doing next, because Saturn now is in the house of third house of defining it and saying, okay, this is how I'm going to proceed. But I definitely like it much more for you in terms of being able to get things to activate, because it puts your sun really pretty angular. You do have the sun on the world axis, which says let's go. The eclipses this fall when you're moving are really right on that point, right on those points. and the nodes of destiny are going right over them. So you're really moving back in an auspicious time for you to kind of launch things. And with Leo ruling your 11th house of groups, I do like group work for you. I think there's still some form your dream has to figure out, and I do like Uranus opposite the part of fortune in the summit chart, because that gives you a good handle on what you want your fortune to be, and I think this summer is an excellent time to define it as Saturn sextiles that Uranus for the last time, which is like your take your creative and figure out how to work it. So I think you're right on track, and I do like the East Coast better for your physical manifestation of your dreams, because the lines are just more, they're more manageable. Colorado's a little more servile because you're Virgo rising there, and New York's a little more, I'm the captain of my ship, and it answers to that lovely Venus in Libra in the first. So you're able to do more, I think, here. And I like the East Coast for your chart. And with the eclipses just finishing up, a lot of changes in your personal relationships, so you're really ready for new stuff. And once you finish that last square of Pluto to your moon, which is this summer, and then we have it again in the, you know, like October time frame, because he goes all the way back to 12. But truly, a lot of your evolutionary work has already happened because Uranus is pulled out of the thing. And Uranus, to me, from your chart's perspective, seems to be a little more potent because he's past Pluto. And I think the evolutionary work of Pluto is finished, and the creative work of Uranus is about to begin. So I say full steam ahead and have fun and move back. Mark, what do you think?
That's so, that's yeah, so great.
Yeah, that's you can look forward to all of that. And I think what you'll feel is a sort of lifting of restrictions. So you can let that be your guide. You know, wherever you feel that a restriction has been lifted, go ahead and work it. Work it really well, because that's sort of like a gift for you.
Oh, that's so terrific. That's so helpful. I'm glad for this affirmation. And then career-wise, is there anything that you guys can see or any indications?
You're just getting started is what I see. You know, you've really been through a death and rebirth in the last couple of years. And Uranus is coming up to your Saturn. Are you doing some work that will take in some partnership or bring in unusual people to work with you in this?
Yeah, not that I know of. It's a pretty corporate job. You know, it's a corporate job, which is it's not what I've been doing. I kind of started my career in a big corporate firm, and it's going back to that. So I'm not exactly sure you're going to find that there's an
interesting change, that it will be unusual people or a stroke of brilliance or some way of doing it in a different way than you did before that will make this job feel very different to you than the old ones did.
Mm-hmm. Right. And also, when you move back to Summit or wherever you're going back in Jersey, your midheaven now is 21 Leo by progression there, and it trines your Saturn and your progressed Saturn. And, of course, there's a new 8-year cycle starting with the Venus star point, the Sun and Venus meeting at 23 Leo on that point. Plus, your progressed moon in Scorpio is just about to change into Sag. So you got a lot of endings and letting goes that you're going to be doing this summer. So I would really take extra time to kind of go, okay, I'm letting go of this because it's going to move me here. I'm letting go of that because, come here, Remo. I'm letting go of this because it's cat's howling, sorry. I'm letting go of this because it's going to move me here. I'm letting go of that because it's going to move me here. And let me really consciously release things. And a lot of times when we're making a big change, it's really about knowing that we're really making the change to go to the next level, which it really does look like. But there's a lot of stuff with Saturn aspecting planets at the very last degree in your progressed and your solar arc charts that are going to really feel like you're really wrapping up stuff on a major level. And then the progressed moon in New Jersey gets to the midheaven in about 4 months, which will then, from now, that then says, okay, we're now starting a new 14-year cycle about how you are in the world. And, of course, moon rules your midheaven in New York, rules your career direction. So the 14 and a half years you've been working while the progressed moon has been rising up in the chart, now when it switches horizons and comes over to your side, it kind of amplifies a lot of the emotional changes. And I know in my case, when I was in corporate, then I went out on my own and did my own business and then went back to corporate, it was a very different experience because you come you come from an ownership point of view.
Yeah.
And so it'll be really interesting.
And I think that creates a difference.
Totally creates a difference in how you interact with everybody because you've done it yourself. And it's a different mindset than employee mindset. But it also can be a little intimidating on a bad day, and you don't respond to office politics nearly the same way you did the first time around, which is actually very refreshing. Because you kind of go, really? That's how much you're going to give me as a raise? Whatever. But you just give a different you have a different perspective. So, yeah, I think it looks great. I'd say full steam ahead, you know.
Excellent. That resonates a lot with me. Thank you very, very much. I really do appreciate your time, and I'll keep listening. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good.
You're
good
very
luck.
Welcome. All right, let's see if we have anybody else up there. Okay. No hands are raised. There's no hands raised. There's listeners, but they didn't raise their hand. Press 1-631-432 or 240-593 if you want us to pick you up. And we have 3 minutes left, so.
So we'll just talk amongst ourselves for this last little bit. Another example of Mercury retrograde, because I always find the stories amusing. Because I live in Tornado Alley, the north end of it, and at the beginning of each month on the first Wednesday at 1 o'clock, all the tornado sirens go off to practice the emergency storm system. Today at 12:55, the most hellacious thunderstorm broke out. And the first one of the season. So we've got, green lights, thunder, and all the sirens go off. And, we all
they
jump.
They run green lights when they're doing it? Yeah.
No, the sky turns, the light turns green in the sky, and it's a bad storm.
Really? Wow.
And when you see that green, okay, thunderstorm, look for the hail, and go check the weather report to see if it's a tornado. And it wasn't a tornado, but all
green?
The tornado sirens went off because it was the time that they always test them.
Right.
But it scared the crap out of most of the people in town, and, you could see us all laughing about it later. And there's also this feeling of, what if a tornado did come at 1 o'clock on the first Wednesday of the month?
Right.
We better check.
Because everybody goes, it's the first, there's that trick.
Yeah.
Kind of
like
calling Wolf, right?
Right, exactly. So we had to check anyway. But it wasn't. There was no sign of a thunderstorm this far north at this time, which is the first bad thunderstorm of the season, right on time. But it was pretty funny.
Very cool. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. So because everybody expects it to be, that was what happened on 9/11, right? Although they had that war games that involved airplanes flying into buildings, so that's why NORAD didn't scramble. They happened to be running a war game that happened to mimic what was going on in the sky.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, no, it's a war game. No, it's not. It's real, so that's,
you just can't believe it's real. And
right.
I can completely understand that.
Yep, tornadoes in 1 o'clock on Wednesday. I guess that's... you better watch out for tornadoes at 1 o'clock on Wednesday, Heather, is all I can say.
Right, it's trust in Allah and tie up your camel. It is just right now, if you don't dismiss anything, don't assume it's right.
Right.
Check. And that's that.
Check.
Mercury retrograde asks us to check and confirm. Often when I check something with Mercury retrograde, everything is fine, but I find the missing piece or I find another mistake that really needs to be tended to while I'm checking, which is which is very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And watch for that finger of God this week, folks.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be fun. Just kind
of
make faded choices that are wise. Wise choices. Wise choices. So, it's good.
Yes. And on that note, I hope you have a good week.
Yes.
Yeah.
The British lady has spoken.
And Mark, you too. This is Heather Rowan Robbins signing off from Minnesota.
And Mark Waltz in New York.
And Ann Ortley in New York at my bright red desk.
Good.
And we'll talk to you all next week, folks. Bye.
Wonderful.
Okay, bye
Take
now.
Care. Bye.